Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Pro. Hello and welcome to Pro EFT Radio with Lindsay Kinney, EFT Master. If you're new to EFT, please visit us at proeft.com after the show to familiarize yourself with meridian tapping. It's important to learn the basics of EFT in order to get the most out of the material we'll be covering in these programs. You'll find a wealth of free resources at proeft.com, including a free starter program that will help you build on a solid foundation for tapping. Now here's Lindsay.
Hi everyone, this is indeed Lindsay. Joining us tonight is Lindsay Kinney, me. I don't have a guest tonight. Once in a while I have to fill in for myself. So you're stuck with me tonight, but it's going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is the bundling baggage technique. We've had quite a week so far, 2 weeks, 10 days I guess it is, with the Tapping World Summit, which has just been amazing. If you guys have been listening to those recordings, I'm hoping that you've picked up a lot of techniques and processes that you can use in your own, for your own tapping or with your clients. If you haven't registered, you can still get in and listen to those. There's some very affordable packages. And this isn't a commercial for that, but I just wanted to encourage you guys to do that. You can go to tinyurl.com, T-I-N-Y-U-R-L.com, and then /World Summit Registration, World Summit Registration. And that'll take you right to a page where you can choose some different packages to listen to some of the audios or get the CDs. It's a terrific program. I was just on the other night speaking about procrastination, very common subject these days. Tonight we're going to be talking about bundling baggage. I want to teach you this unique technique. When I say unique, it is not an EFT technique. It's a pro-EFT technique, and it's something that I developed about 2 or 3 years, I guess, after I started tapping with people as a full-time practice. And I want to kind of just give you a brief background of how that started. I noticed that there were pretty common issues that people would come in for, and it didn't take me long. I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach, but I started realizing that these issues were really symptoms of something deeper, common issues that people show up for on their first sessions are anxiety, clutter, addictions, low self-esteem or unworthiness, fear. Sometimes it's anger at their boss, a coworker, or family member, procrastination, self-sabotage, a lot of stuck issues. Can't get going, can't finish, can't get motivated, those sort of things. Tons of weight issues, and even some post-traumatic stress disorder. And you know, with traditional EFT, one of the things you do is go back and say, well, when did this start? What was going on at that time? What was happening in your life? What event might have precipitated these problems? Well, I started noticing pretty quickly that most people say, well, I can't think of a particular time. Now, sometimes there would be, there'd be an accident, a divorce, a death, a tragedy, a betrayal, and we'd go back and clear the trauma of that. But 95% of the time, it wasn't one incident, but rather a series of incidents that are related in some way, similar in some way, repetitive, and negative events or traumas. So 95% of those symptoms that people would come to me with could be traced back to things that happened usually in their childhood and usually during the formative years of their childhood. So instead of saying, oh, I remember the time when the car ran off of the road, it was, I remember all of those accidents, so to speak. Only it wasn't usually that kind of a thing. It was usually childhood traumas. And for a little kid, it doesn't take much for something to be traumatic. Anything that happens that's abnormal in a child's life, even if it happens all the time and they become to think it's normal, if it feels awful to them, then it's a trauma. So if, for instance, someone has an alcoholic parent that comes home differently at the end of the day than they left at the beginning of the day, that creates uncertainty in a child. If they have a mother or school teacher or father who's over disciplining them and controlling them or judging them or being critical, that's traumatic for a child, and it usually happens over and over, not just once or twice. If they have siblings or schoolmates or peers to pick on them, tease them, bully them, that's traumatic. And for a lot of little kids, anything about them that's different, big ears, big nose, skinny legs, different color, come from a different country, don't speak the same language as here or wherever in the world. A big family, it could be lots of different things, but children find other children's weakness, where they're vulnerable, and I guess it's just normal, or maybe it's learned behavior, that they will pick on that, on the vulnerable. They'll pick on that child with freckles or red hair or whatever. I got picked on all the time for my big nose, my big ears, my thin, wispy hair, my crooked legs. They call me turkey long legs, but at least I could run fast. But it was hurtful, and I understand how that feels. But it could be other things, too. It could be an emotionally detached parent, usually the mother, that's very hurtful to a child. It could be parents that are fighting in front of each other or screaming at the child, as a matter of fact. It could be lots of different events. But it seems like it doesn't matter what the events are. It's those repeated negative experiences really are like little mini traumas. Although to a child they're not always mini, M-I-N-Y, they're M-A-N-Y, and they're traumatic. It doesn't take much to make a little kid cry or to hurt their feelings, especially when they expect adults to be perfect or kind to them all the time. So those negative experiences, those little traumas, cause negative emotions, because they block the pathways, the meridians in the body. When there's a negative event, it blocks the pathway. That causes a negative emotion. Could be shame, guilt, fear, anxiety, uncertainty. And it generates different, you know, feelings. Anytime you felt unloved, criticized, put down, bullied, beaten, unaccepted, humiliated, betrayed, unacknowledged, underloved, abused, ignored, abandoned, overdisciplined, unsupported. Is this sounding familiar to you? Those are those little traumas. So it doesn't matter so much what the event is, because kids have lots of different events. But what happens is those events cause these negative emotions, and they're always similar. So the emotion of being abused physically, emotionally, or sexually is very similar to emotions that might be from being put down, made fun of, criticized. Shame, guilt, fear, anxiety, uncertainty, anger. Does that make sense? I want you to notice and check in and see if those are, any of these things are true for you. But here's the thing. Those actions, those events, and those traumas cause these negative emotions. But the most important thing is it causes a child to form some fundamental, foundational beliefs about themselves, which become our core issues. So let me say that again. Those actions, those events, those traumas that generate those negative emotions or those feelings of being unloved or unwanted or unsupported cause children to form these foundational beliefs about themselves, and those become our core issues. They actually get programmed in to the subconscious mind as like a hard drive. They just get programmed in, and they become foundational beliefs. And all of those beliefs are, it doesn't matter what the event is, they are similar beliefs. And here's some really popular ones. There are probably 20 that are core issue type of beliefs. But here's some really popular ones. Write these down. In fact, I meant to tell you guys to get a pen and paper to take notes or to write down things that you felt were true. Here's some of those beliefs. I'm not lovable. Something's wrong with me. I'm not safe. I'm not okay. No one cares about me. No one hears me. And the big one, I'm not good enough. Did I say I'm not worthy? So those five or six primary ones are, I'm not lovable, something's wrong with me, I'm not safe, I'm not okay, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, or I'm not deserving. So check in and see how that resonates with you. Usually, even after a long time, it's still there. There's still some pain when you think about that, even if your life is working. Because those were foundational beliefs, they stay in our system. And again, they become the foundation or the platform upon which we operate the rest of our lives. that's why later on in our life they generate those symptoms, those things. If you have a belief that I'm not okay, something's wrong with me, I'm not good enough, and you start to make it things happen in your life, start to become successful, and you have a belief that you're not okay or you don't deserve it, then guess what happens? You self-sabotage yourself. And so here's why. Just as I was doing this process, just as I had come to these revelations 6 or 7 years ago and was forming the bundling baggage technique, in fact, that I had already been doing it, along comes Dr. Bruce Lipton, now one of my heroes, with the book The Biology of Belief. For those of you who have not read that, it is a fabulous book. I think it's actually better in audio because he reads the audio. Again, it's The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton. He's a cellular biologist, and he took painstaking experiments, hundreds of them that he details in his book. It's quite intellectual, but hundreds of experiments to try to find out what makes us who we are. Why are some people confident and certain, and things just happen for them, and other people not so much? They go through life with almost like a victim. Things happen to them. Things don't go right. They don't feel good about themselves. Everything seems to go wrong. What is the difference of that? Is it DNA? Is it genetics, really, or nurture, nature, biology? Well, again, he did all these experiments, including things like taking proteins out of cells and genes out of cells and DNA and all of these very detailed scientific experiments. And he came down to a remarkable, I found incredible and profound final distillation of all of that material, and here's what it is. This is a quote from him. Our perceptions, that's our beliefs about ourselves, our perceptions about what's happening in life. Those are my words, but here's what he says. Our perceptions, true or false, positive or negative, affect genetic activity at the cellular level. Our perceptions, true or false, positive or negative, affect genetic activity at the cellular level. He goes on to say, our beliefs actually alter our genetic code. Now, isn't that kind of remarkable for a scientist to say? I mean, he hasn't been very covert about it either. He's been traveling the world for years now speaking about this and why. And he also says it's just, you can depend on it. And that happens in the formative years before the age of 7. Usually, or even sometimes during the age of 7, when little kids' brains are so impressionable and every experience they have is up until that age represents every negative experience is 100% of their experiences at that time. So if they're negative and they lead them to believe they're not okay, they're not good enough, something's wrong with them, then it's much more impactful than 30, 40 years later if you're hurt in some ways because you have a whole lifetime of other things to balance that out. But nonetheless, who we are is what he's saying. Who we are is based on our perception, not on reality. So you can have two people look at a camel and describe two different things. In fact, there's an old story about three blind men that are put in a pen with an elephant, and they're supposed to go and bump into the elephant and feel him and try and then describe what he is. And one blind man said, well, it's like a tree. I mean, it's a tree. It's a big round thing that's firmly planted in the ground. It's very rough and round, about the size of a tree trunk. And another blind man said, "Oh no, it's very fluffy and like a gigantic butterfly." And of course, he's feeling the ear. It's thin and it's rough, but it's very sensitive and it moves through the air. The other one said, "No, it's like a big snake with a very wet mouth." And of course, he's feeling the trunk. Their perception was their reality of what it was, and that's an extreme example, but it's not unlike what we experience daily, and particularly as a child. If you had parents who were fearful and stressed and anxious all the time and gave you the message that the world was not a safe place, what do you think your perception was going to be as a child? That it was safe to go play in the street? It was safe to go out and meet new kids? No, you're going to have an anxiety-based perception of life, and it's going to change who you are for the rest of your life. Now, that's startling in many ways. It's also great in some ways when parents give the other kind of foundation to their children, which I find is kind of rare, but that is that they are accountable for what happens, and they have control of what happens, and they can make anything happen. That's not as common. Little kids are not taught those things just kind of by default. So those events and traumas from our childhood cause us to form those limiting beliefs, and those beliefs are programmed into the hard drive of our mind, our subconscious, and then whether they're true or not, they form that plan, foundation or platform upon which we operate, because our subconscious mind really does rule us. Dr. Lipton goes on to explain why that is. It represents about 95%. It handles and processes 95% of what we do during the day. It makes decisions for us. It's the one that helps us step out of the way of traffic. It's the one that allows us to comb our hair and brush our teeth and take a shower and drive without consciously thinking about it. In fact, what I want you to do now, just to give you an example of that, is I want you to cross your arms if you're not holding the phone next to your ear, or tuck it under your shoulder and ear if you want, and cross your arms. Just cross your arms. And then I want you to, you know what I mean, up by your chest. I want you to look down and see how that is. Is your left hand tucked under your right arm, or is your right hand tucked under your left arm? Whatever it is, I want you to undo that and cross your arms the opposite way and see how you do. Go ahead, do it. It's not going to hurt anybody. Nobody's going to see you. Hopefully. I've done this in workshops. I know you're waving your arms around trying to get it to go right. It's because it's a subconscious movement. We just kind of get used to doing something a certain way, and we do it that way. When you try to do it another way, it's harder. Try to write with your left hand if you're predominantly right-handed. It's difficult. So your subconscious perceives things a certain way, and to make life easier, it just uses that pattern over and over again so you don't have to make a decision all of the time. It's got something, a resource, a reference to go by. Here's how I fold my arms. I don't have to figure it out. Problem is, if you're programmed to make decisions based on that foundational material that you got in your childhood of I'm not okay, I'm not lovable, I'm not worthy, I'm not safe, something's wrong with me, I'm not okay, and I'm not good enough, and then that's what your subconscious is programmed as, then your subconscious is making decisions and choices during your life, during your day, during your business, based on perceptions that are incorrect. So you end up running your life based on invalid information up to 95% of the time. Now, isn't that kind of disgusting when you think about it? But that's why people say, why can't I lose weight? Why can't I finish this project? Why do I keep sabotaging myself over and over again? Why do I keep screwing up? How come I keep attracting these men who mistreat me or aren't available? Why can't I do anything right? I'm just a screw-up. Ever say those things to yourself? Any of this sounding familiar? Well, there's the answer to it. And then people say, why can't I change? Why can't I just, okay, I see it. I know that I'm running my life based on those old tapes from my childhood. Why can't I just recognize that and change? Well, as Bruce Lipton says, and by the way, I just want to editorialize and say, I was so relieved to find a scientific basis or validation for the things that I was already noticing as a non-scientist. It made me very happy. So I've been in love with Bruce Lipton and his work for all these years because he really made it easier for me, and he explained it in a way that I'm kind of in a way that I'm explaining it to you now. That if your subconscious is programmed, then it's programmed. So when you put a program in your computer, you upload some new material, it's programmed. So if you put something in there for a Word document and you don't like the way it's formatted or the way it looks, and you scream at your computer screen and say, change, I want that italicized, I want that in bold print. In fact, I don't want a Word document, I want an Excel document. So why are you doing this? Well, or maybe it's a Mac, and you have completely wrong program in it anyway if you've got a Word doc on your Mac. But you can't scream at your computer and just will it to change if it's programmed to work a certain way. You can't put a CD into your CD player or pick up a tune on iTunes that's jazz and then scream at your device and tell it to play classical music or rap or oldies or something. If it's programmed one way, you have to do something to it to change it. It can't just change. Does that make sense? I know you can't answer me, but I like it to think that you do. So how do we fix that problem? So now we're going to do some tapping. I'm actually going to do a teleclass next week where I have some people on with me, and I'm going to demonstrate this and tell you all the different ways that we can use bundling. But I'm going to tell you now how we can reprogram your mind using tapping, pro-EFT, EFT. And Dr. Lipton, this scientist, actually says you really can't change your subconscious unless you use something, an energy psychology-based product, and he says in his book, like EFT. And he's a big proponent of EFT. So that's really cool. And this is the way I think to do it, is with bundling baggage. So we're going to go through the steps. But I want you to know that this is just the foundation. I usually start with the childhood things. And then we, with clients, we move on to lots of things, other repeated traumas or events, other similar negative emotions. And a terrific one to use bundling for is limiting beliefs and fears. So in my teleclass next week, I'm going to show you how to do those things. It's on March 10th, by the way, 9 p.m. Eastern time, same time as this class, and that's on Thursday night of next week. You can register for that at EFTteleclasses.com. But for now, I want to show you how to get rid of all of these things. So if you don't have a pen and pencil already, I want you to grab one. And we're going to actually tap along and do this together. Let's get your pen and paper. And what I want you to do is imagine, this is going to require a little bit of imagination, but I want you to just think in general terms about some of the rotten things that happened in your childhood. So we're going to bundle childhood things. So things about your parents being disrespectful or not hearing you or listening to you, or being bullied by children, other peers, siblings, feeling insignificant. All of the things that made you feel, that maybe program one of those beliefs that we were just talking about. So it's the events that caused you to feel, I'm not okay, something's wrong with me, I'm different, I'm not good enough, I'm unworthy. So it's the events. I want you to see in your mind bundling them together in a big pile in front of you. Just bring in things. Use your hands if you want to shuffle them in. And you don't have to individually name them because they're going to be different events. I had a brother who despised me and tried to smother me with a pillow because he wanted a pony, not a little sister. And a mother who yelled at me all the time, told me I couldn't do anything wrong. I couldn't do anything right. What's the matter with you? You're never going to amount to anything. Kids picked on me at school. So you see, they're different events, but they all have the same message. I must be really messed up. I must not be okay. My bottom line message is, I'm not good enough. I mean, that was one of them. All of the others applied as well. But all of the different events, you don't need to name them. I just want you to jot down. Imagine, I want you to actually see them, actually, not write them down. I just want you to kind of see a pile of them in front of you. Now, I want you to give that pile a name. This is where you're going to use the pen. Give that pile a name. That's your baggage, childhood baggage. So call it something and make it a noun, not a feeling. You're not writing down, I'm not worthy. I want you to say, what's the name of all of the events that made you feel not worthy? So what would they be? My disrespectful, overbearing father, my childhood from hell, my childhood baggage, my alcoholic parents that were awful. clients often use much more graphic language than that, and feel free to do that. Whatever you want to say, just this, all of this big pile of crap. And I've had people call it a big black blob from hell and all kinds of things. Name it. I want you to name it. Should be only less than a 5-word phrase. Again, in that pile are all of the things that you remember and all of the things you don't remember. Now, I want you to give it a number, an intensity number. That's the charge that you think it had on you at the time. If you can't remember, then that's probably even worse, meaning it was probably even more traumatic. But guess, what would a little kid have felt at your age, 5, 6, 7, that was being treated that way? So if you can't yourself imagine some other little child, and what would that intensity be? A 10? Would he be hurt or she be hurt at a 10, 5? Well, it's usually a 9 or a 10. So guess what that would be. And as you're doing this, check in with your own body. Do you feel that in your body someplace? Do you feel a little sad about that? Disappointed, hurt? Are you feeling it now? And if so, write that down. I usually draw a little vertical line and put then, a T for then, and N for now. And you can give it two numbers. It might have been a 10 when you're a child. It might be a 7 now. But we're going to work on them together because it's the same person, just in a extended period of time later. So give it a number, and if you don't know, just guess. Most of the time, it's a high number, one or the other. And we're going to heal that inner child as we heal you. Now, if you're on a phone where you can put it on speaker so you can hear me, or you have a headset, then do that so that we can work with your hands. I'd like you to tap with both of your hands. And we're going to first do a reversal neutralization. If you don't know what that is, if you haven't read my stuff about reversals, after this class, go to tinyearl.com/reversalsconfo, C-O-N-F-O. That's tinyearl.com/reversalsconfo, and it's a video about 15 minutes long that explains general polarity reversals and subconscious resistance to change reversals. And so it'll be good for you to know. For now, just trust me. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to tap on your karate chop point. You can either bump your hands together at that point. That's the fleshy side of your hand. You can also get a tapping chart on my website, too. There's a starter package that you can get that's got all this stuff in it. For now, tap on that side of your hand, the karate chop point, and I want you to say, I want to love and accept myself completely, even though there's a part of me that doesn't want to let go of this baggage. And I'm going to just call it that. You can say the name of your baggage out loud. Now, if I don't give you enough time to say it, that's okay. Don't worry about it, because we're working with energy here, and I don't want to pause too long between saying. So you can just say exactly what I'm saying if you want. It'll still affect what you're doing. So again, on the karate chop point, I want to love and accept who I am today, even though for whatever reason, I don't want to let go of my childhood baggage. Maybe it's because it's a part of my identity. Maybe it would be disrespecting my family in some way. Maybe it feels unsafe to let it go. But for whatever reason, logical or not, valid or not, still on the karate chop, conscious or not, I don't want to let go of that baggage. And I still respect who I am now. Now I want you to take a deep breath and shake out your hands like you're shaking water off of your fingertips, both hands if you can do that. And now I want you to come back to the karate chop point, same point, on the side of the hand, on the fleshy side of the hand, and tap there and say, even after all of this time, I'm still profoundly affected by my childhood baggage. Now stop for a moment and think how that is affecting you today. How is that stuff affecting you? Do you have clutter problems, weight problems, procrastination problems, addiction problems, self-esteem issues, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, anything like that, and many other things? But how do you think that's showing up in your life today? Okay, staying on the karate chop point. So even though I've worked on some of this before, I still have a lot of my childhood baggage that I carry around. And I want to love and appreciate who I am anyway. Okay, now, on the eyebrows, this is the beginning of the eyebrow. I'm going to describe the points the first time. The second time, I'll just call them out as we tap. I'd like you to tap with your ring finger, your middle finger, and your index finger, those three middle fingers. And I want you to do it with both hands if you can. So at the beginning of the eyebrows, we're going to go around the first time, and I'm going to say my childhood baggage. You can say whatever the name is that you call yours, or you can say what I say. It won't matter. So on the eyebrows, my childhood baggage, outside of the eyes, right at the corner of the eyes, my childhood baggage, now the bone under the eyes, my childhood baggage. Now under the nose, I want you to turn your fingers vertically so that your index finger is under your nose, your ring finger, and your middle finger are on your chin, mouth and chin. So you're getting those two points with one hand, turning it vertically. All my childhood baggage. Now, on the collarbone, it's not way out in the clavicle area. It's right up about 3 inches from the center of your neck divot. So tap there and say, all my childhood baggage. This first round's kind of boring, but that's all right. Under the arms, my childhood baggage. Under the liver, not used by traditional EFT, but very important. For men, it's about 3 inches under your nipples, only slightly off to the right. For a woman, it's right about where your bra, the wire for your bra is underneath your breasts. So just turn your fingers into that and tap there. This childhood baggage, another important point not used in traditional tapping that we use in pro EFT is the wrist point. So that's where the line at the base of your wrist forms when you wave your hand. If you put your hands towards your face, wave yourself to yourself, it's where your wrist bends and your hand meets the wrist. So there's a line there, and there are three important meridians: the lung meridian, heart meridian, and pericardium. And those are where emotions of stress, anxiety, anger, and grief reside. Those are pretty important emotions. And sadness. Those are pretty important emotions to get on those three meridians. So tap them together and say, my childhood baggage. And then on the top of the head, same thing, my childhood baggage. All right, now let's do a fun round. This is what I call the venting round. I want you to vent a little bit. I'm going to just say some things, but you say whatever comes to your mind or repeat what I say. But I want you to name some of the things that had happened to you. Not the emotions, just some of the things that happened. So on the eyebrows. Are the kids picking on me all the time? Outside of the eyes, I never felt seen or heard. Under the eyes, I didn't feel loved. Under the nose, my parents yelling at each other. On the collarbone, we had to move around all the time. I never felt at home anywhere. Under the arms. It was a sad, lonely childhood. On the liver, I got picked on all the time. On the wrist, I felt so unsafe and uncertain. Top of the head, my crappy childhood. Now take a deep breath. If you've got some water handy, have a sip of water. And shake out your hands again. Shake your water off your fingertips. By the way, I'm going to take some calls later for questions. So while you're taking a sip of water, if you want to call in and ask a question, call 760-1-760-683-2626. So that's 760-683-2626. And you can raise your hand when you get there. They'll give you the prompt to do that. Now, I want you to reassess your intensity level. You can do it then and now. You can look back and say, well, it was a 7, then I'm guessing it's only a 4 now, or whatever. Do the same thing now, I'm feeling a little bit better. And it might have gone up. That's okay, because you were focused on it, so it might have gone up. Let's assume it went down, because it does most of the time. Now we're going to vent. So on the chronic chat point, even though there's still a lot of this childhood baggage held within me, there is a brave part of me letting it go. And I want that part of me to prevail. I really want to release this childhood baggage. And I love and accept myself for the willingness to do that. Now on the eyebrows, remaining childhood baggage. Outside of the eyes, I want to let it go. Under the eyes, all of those awful things that happened in my childhood. Under the nose, I want to release them. Collarbone, all of the traumatic events that happened to me, under the arms, whether I remember them or not, on the liver, whether I think they affected me or not, on the wrist, I can look at my life today and see how they have changed me. Top of the head, so I want to neutralize them. On the eyebrows, I want to heal the wounds from my childhood. Under the arms, I want to break the link that keeps me controlled by my childhood. Under the eyes, I want to consider the possibility of maybe forgiving those who hurt me. Under the nose and chin, for my sake, not theirs. Collarbone, no, I'm not ready for forgiveness yet. Under the arms, it really hurt me. On the liver, it wasn't my fault. On the wrist, but I thought it was. Top of the head, it wasn't fair. Eyebrows, I was a pretty good little kid. Outside of the eyes, but I got some rough breaks. Under the eyes, it wasn't fair. Under the nose, so I want to rectify it now. Collarbone, I'm tired of having my childhood control me in my adult life. Under the arms, but it's part of my identity. Liver, who would I be without that childhood baggage? On the wrist, maybe I would be free to explore who I really am. Top of the head, I'm tired of having that baggage identify me. Now take another deep breath. And check back in with your intensity. See if it's changed. And at some point, people tend to kind of just put them together. It doesn't matter if you've got two intensities then and now or just one. Just check back in, see where it is. It should have gone down. If not, there's still some, you know, we're doing some general tapping here. There may be some other stuff there, but it does generally drop. You start at a 10, you might be at a 4 by now. Now we're going to move into some of the emotions. Now that we've talked about the events and what they did, we're going to do some of the emotions. So again, you can put in your own words, or you can say what I'm saying. So back on the karate chop. Even though there's a part of me still holding on to my childhood baggage, there's a brave half of me that's letting it go. And I really want that part of me to prevail. I want to be free from the things that tormented me in my past. And I respect myself for the willingness to work on it. So on the eyebrows, remaining childhood baggage, outside of the eyes, it really hurt my feelings. Under the eyes, it made me sad. Under the nose, I'm sad now just thinking about it. Collarbone, sometimes I felt worthless. Under the arm, sometimes I felt helpless. On the liver, sometimes I felt I was totally undeserving. The wrist, I felt abandoned and all alone. Top of the head, it wasn't fair. Eyebrows, sometimes I have to give to myself what I didn't get from others. Under the eye, outside of the eyes, but what I've done, I can see, is just pick up where my parents left off. Under the eyes, I berate myself the way they used to do. Under the nose, I pick on myself the way they picked on me. Collarbone, when I say that, it's absurd. Under the arms, so I want to change that behavior. Liver, I want to let go of that pain from my childhood. Wrist, I want to release that sadness, the anger, the regret, the resentment. The remorse. Top of the head, I want to let it go. Eyebrows, I allow myself to let it go. Outside of the eyes, no, I don't. Under the eyes, it feels unsafe. Under the nose, I don't know why I don't want to let it go. Collarbone, but I don't. Under the arms, yes, I do. Liver. I'm sick and tired of feeling like this. wrist. I didn't know how much it was affecting me. Top of the head. So I allow myself and give myself permission to release my childhood baggage. Take a deep breath. See where you are now. Now, sometimes, particularly if the number drops, when it drops below a 5, there's some sadness that comes up, regret about what it could have been. And there are also, there's often a singular event that pops out. That time when Uncle Ted did this to me. That time when Mom locked me in the closet, or whatever it might be. Those singular events that stand out, you need to pull out of that pile. Pull it out of the pile, and you can either tap on it later or tap on it now. But since we're doing this, just pull it out knowing you're going to deal with it later, and we'll tap on the things that are remaining. You should also check in with the size of your pile and see if it's smaller. Sometimes I have people describe that pile. Is it sharp or dull or bright or black, thick, thin, flat, high? Does it smell? What color is it? And it's amazing how creative people can be about describing that pile. Sometimes it's quite stinky and has a real bad vibe to it. It has bad feng shui. So see where your number is now. And then when it's at a 3, you may not be at a 3, but I'm going to assume you are, so I can just show you these, how to do this. When it's at a 3, then you use the choice statement, sort of like saying, it's, even though it's always been that way, I choose to have it be this way. That's Pat Carrington's Choices. I had her on just a couple of weeks ago. And it's simply choosing, empowering yourself to let go of something that isn't working for you. So on your karate chop point, even though I still have a little bit of the baggage from my childhood remaining, I now choose to consciously let go of it. Even though there's still some baggage that's bugging me, I choose to release it and heal the damage that it's caused. Okay, now eyebrows. Remaining childhood garbage. On this round, we're going to do one round of the negative. So vent again, anything that you want to say. Outside of the eyes. All of the times I was disrespected. All of the times I was unseen or unheard. Under the nose. All of the times I was unacknowledged and got no praise. Or didn't receive any praise. Collarbone. All of the times Mom and Dad didn't show up for my sporting event or my play. Under the arms. All of the times I was picked on or bullied or made fun of. Live with the times I was criticized, judged, put down. Wrist. All of the times my feelings were hurt. On top of that, all of the times I felt so alone and unloved. Now, on the eyebrows, I choose to neutralize all of those events. The outside of the eyes, I choose to let go of all of that pain. Under the eyes, I choose to heal those wounds. Under the nose, I allow myself to release all of that childhood baggage. Collarbone, I want to turn around all of the damage that was done. Under the arms, I want to reclaim my true identity. On the livers, I choose to let go of that baggage. On the wrist, I choose to release all of the negative emotions that I'm still holding as a result of those events. Top of the head, I choose to be free. Now, the next round, we're going to alternate a negative and a positive statement. So on the eyebrows, remaining childhood baggage. Outside of the eyes, I choose to let it go. Under the eyes, any negative emotions that are remaining from my childhood junk. Under the nose, I choose to eliminate them now. Collarbone, any remaining anger, resentment, frustration at someone else. Under the arms, I choose to forgive them. On the liver, any of the beliefs that I formed as a result of those events. On the wrist, I choose to neutralize them. Top of the head, I choose to acknowledge who I really am. Take a deep breath and release it. Shake out your fingers if you want to. And reassess where you are. Now, if you're not at a 0, if that pile is not flat, where you see a little bit of residual there, But if the number is down, like a 2 or less, then you would do a gamut. So let's do the gamut point. That balances the right and left hemispheres of the brain and helps completely resolve an issue. Usually if there's just a little bit of holding on. If you're at a 4 or 5, it's probably not going to do much for you, but it won't hurt to do it. If you're at a 4 or 5 or above, you still need some more tapping to do. You might need to see a practitioner to handle the rest of your baggage. These are some big things we're doing, a whole childhood full of stuff, indirectly, and being vague about it. So if you don't get to 0, don't think it's a bad thing. This is a very generalized process we're doing, but I've had lots of success doing it this way. So now, on the back of your hand, between the bones of your ring finger and little finger, there's a little valley there on the back of your hand. If you make a fist, you can probably see actually those ridges that are your bones. So between the ring finger bone and the little finger bone, tap in that little valley, which is the gamut point. It doesn't matter which hand you use on which other hand, but use all of your fingers in that little ridge. And I want you to follow, keep tapping and keep repeating the phrase remaining childhood baggage or whatever your name is of yours. So keep tapping and repeating that phrase as you follow my instructions. So tap and say remaining childhood baggage. Now close your eyes tightly, remaining childhood baggage. Open them wide. Main childhood baggage. Say it with me. Keeping your head straight, look down to the right with your eyes. Keep tapping. Remaining childhood baggage. Now down to the left. Say it again. Remaining childhood baggage. Now move your eyes. You're looking down to the left. Now move your eyes to the right, around in a big circle, like you're looking at a giant clock that's right in front of your face. So you have to look really high and really wide to see the numbers. Go around counterclockwise. Tapping and saying remaining childhood baggage. Really stretch those optical muscles and nerves. Now go to the other direction, clockwise. Remaining childhood baggage. Remaining childhood baggage. Okay, now keep tapping and hum the first two lines of Happy Birthday. Count to five real quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the last two lines of Happy Birthday. Good. Now, go back to the eyebrows, remaining childhood baggage. Outside of the eyes, I choose to obliterate it. Under the eyes, remaining junk from my childhood. Under the nose, I choose to let go of it once and for all. On the collarbone, any remaining hurt, sadness, pain, or anger. Under the arms, I choose to neutralize it now. On the liver, any remaining bad feelings or bad decisions about my childhood. On the wrist, I choose to release it now. Top of the head, I choose to be clean from my childhood. Want to see you take a deep breath and see how you're feeling. And hopefully you're to 0. If not, you can just do this again and again and again until it's gone, or pick out the things that are standing out for you. And you might need to see a practitioner for it. You can find some on my website at proeft.com. I have some preferred practitioners, or actually you could go to eftpractitionerlistings.com, eftpractitionerlistings.com, and it'll take you directly to that page on my site with some of my certified practitioners. I also have a Tapping Buddies program that you can tap into, no pun intended, to work on some others that are at your level, you know, that are tapping, want some help tapping, and help tap away the rest of your childhood baggage. You can find articles on this on my website, and you can join me for the complete teleclass next week. We won't go through all the beginning stuff. We'll just do some more tapping on this, and I'll use 2 or 3 live subjects. All right, now let's do one more thing. I want you to now, let's just assume you're at 0, but I want you to do this. We're going to tap into some of your attributes, your skills, talents, and abilities. So without doing the setup, just go to your eyebrows and tap there and say, sometimes I forget I'm a pretty good person. Outside of the eyes, I'm intelligent. And if you disagree with a word I use, change it to something else. Under the eyes, I'm articulate. Under the nose, I'm resourceful. Collarbone, I'm a pretty good problem solver. Under the arms, I'm kind. Liver, I'm considerate. Wrist, I'm compassionate. top of the head, I'm insightful. Eyebrows, I'm resilient. Outside of the eyes, heaven knows I'm a survivor. Under the eyes, I want to acknowledge myself for being a good person. Under the nose, I'm a good friend. Collarbone, I'm a good, daughter, mother, sister, father, brother, uncle, friend, grandson, whatever is true for you. Under the arms, I would want myself for a friend. On the liver, I can be trusted. On the wrist, it's about time I acknowledge those things about myself. Top of the head, I'm a strong, resilient, pretty darn good person. Okay? And see how it feels to say some nice things about yourself instead of picking on yourself all the time, saying, you idiot, what's the matter with you? Can't you do anything right? That's a good way to start your day, by the way, in the shower or in the bathroom or in your bed in the morning, is to just do some positive tapping about things that are true about you and how you really are. I often tell my clients to write down 20 things about themselves that are true. And if they can't think of 20, call a good friend. Call somebody who loves you and say, what are some of my attributes? And I don't mean that you have long, pretty hair or that you play the piano, but your characteristics, the things about you that are likable, that are honorable. And start the day, no setup, just tap on those good things. So give yourself the love and attention and respect and voice that you might not have had as a child. So I am done with you today on Bundling Baggage. I don't see any little hands up on my callers, so I'm either assuming I put them to sleep or they don't have any questions because I did such a magnificent job, or they're planning on just listening next week to the teleclass. So I'm going to wrap up. I'm just going to give you some of the tips or some of the – I give you a lot of website names and things. I'm going to go over some of those again. You can email me if you've forgotten them. But if you want to listen in and register for the teleclass next week, you can find it from my homepage on proeft.com. Or you can go to EFTteleclasses.com. That's plural, EFTteleclasses.com, and register there, $25. And for that, you get a video on bundling. You get my free ebook on bundling. You get the tapping charts, borrowing benefits, reversals video. You get a lot of free stuff. So it's an amazing bargain for $25, plus the audio. Afterwards that you can play and listen to anytime and download. I think I gave you somebody else's site too. Oh, yeah, the beginning I gave you the World Summit to register, tinyearl.com, World Summit Registration, tinyearl.com, World Summit Registration. What else did I give you? Reversals audio is tinyearl.com/reversals. Confo, C-O-N-F-O. So if you missed any of those, you can email me, lkcoaching-lk@yahoo.com, and I'll send you anything that you missed on this. I think I got that. You can go to my free stuff page, frequently asked questions page, and media page that are all linked from my homepage at proeft.com. And the media page will have the recording of this class, and those others have tons of frequently asked questions, a lot of free things you can download about EFT and pro-EFT, all free. And the media page has a lot of good interviews and things on it. I think I've covered the scope of just about everything. And since I don't have any questions, I'm going to wish you all well. Thank you for joining me. I hope you join us next week on the 10th. On the 9th, I'll have Dr. Thelma Jones talking about stress and anxiety. She's a medical doctor and an EFT practitioner. So join us next Wednesday at 6, and join us next Thursday at 6 Pacific time, 9 Eastern, for live Bundling Baggage teleclass demonstrations. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you next week.
Join us again every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, as Lindsay has conversations with the top talent in the world of energy psychology. Our intention is to help you tap away your challenges and tap into physical and emotional freedom. Find replays of these shows on the media page at proeft.com. And again, thank you for joining us.